and internet articles that could walk me through all the right things to say to my daughter as she embarked on her journey into womanhood. But in the back of my mind, I had a feeling all that would mean a lot more coming from someone who knew what it was like, who'd experienced it firsthand. Someone who loved my daughter as much as I did. And as much as it sucked, that woman would most likely not be Kate. Bridging the gap from booty call to stepmom was a big leap, and I couldn't afford to let myself or Maddie become emotionally connected with Kate if she wasn't going to stick around. When I pulled into the driveway, I glanced up at Kate's window over the garage. The light was off, which either meant she was out or she'd called it an early night. Either way, my heart sank a little, knowing that I couldn't head over to her place for a few minutes to tell her about my horrible date. I walked inside, paying and thanking the babysitter before walking her to the front door. Maddie had been asleep for about an hour by then, and I didn't want to wake her by saying goodnight. As I changed into sweats, kicking my dark jeans into the laundry hamper, it dawned on me. All these thoughts about Kate didn't have to do with Maddie. Not completely, at least. It was me. I was the one who needed another person around, someone who could fill in the gaps I struggled with in my life, who was there at the end of the day to support me, who was funny and brilliant and sexy as hell, a true partner. I sat on the edge of my bed, burying my face in my palms and rubbing my eyes. The only problem with these newfound feelings was that Kate didn't want anything to do with them. She made it perfectly clear, right from the beginning, that she wasn't looking for anything serious, especially with someone who had a kid. Catching feelings, she called it. Fuck, fuck, fuck. For as much as I wish Kate wanted something more than just being fuck buddies, I didn't want to be the kind of guy who agreed to casual sex and then freaked out after a few hot and heavy nights. We'd agreed this would be nothing serious. I had to honor that arrangement. But I had to do something about these feelings. And fast.
Chapter 15. Dirty martini, please, I shouted to the bartender over the noise of the crowd. It was a Wednesday night, and I'd been sent to an album release party for an up-and-coming singer. According to my editor, there would be major gossip to pick up at the party, but so far all I'd done was eat too many fried goat cheese balls and listen to bad pop music for an hour. The singer was only 18, and I'd already had to dodge groups of drunk teenagers on more than one occasion. I decided a drink was necessary to get me through the rest of the night. I sipped my martini as I walked through the party. My mind wandered to Hunter, and I wondered what he was doing. The last we'd spoken, he'd been getting ready for a date with that bitch from Maddie's school. Okay, she wasn't a bitch, but I hated the thought of him out with her. And while I was dying to know how it had gone, I wasn't about to ask Hunter about it. I refused to seem like a needy girlfriend, especially because we weren't dating, and even more so because I was the one who'd encouraged him to go on the date in the first place. Someone tapped me on the shoulder, interrupting my thoughts. Hey, gorgeous, a voice said as I turned around. It was Andy, a fellow columnist. I winced at the greeting. We'd hooked up a few times, usually after drinking too much at these events. He was attractive and fun to hang out with, but I hated when he called me pet names. Hey, Andy. I smiled as he pulled me in for a hug. I haven't seen you in a while, he grinned, his gaze lingering on my cleavage for a moment too long. You look great. We filled each other in on our lives after Andy bought us another round of martinis. Usually, I was happy to see him. He was fun and easy to be around, but tonight our conversation felt stale. I wasn't in the mood to flirt with him, and I certainly wasn't in the mood to go home with him. In fact, the more I talked to Andy, the more I missed Hunter. Shit, I was really in deep. I told Andy I had to use the restroom, but really, I just wanted to be alone with my thoughts for a few minutes. Lately, I'd been doing a lot of thinking about relationships. All this time, I'd thought that by avoiding a relationship, I was being strong and independent. But in reality, I was just afraid to grow up. I was too old to be at this party, and I was too old to keep being afraid to live my life. It was time to make adult decisions and take a risk. Yes, I'd seen my sister get burned, but that didn't mean I would. And if I did, I'd pick myself back up. That's what a truly strong and independent woman would do. I looked at myself in the bathroom mirror. For so many years, I'd been missing out on having a real connection with someone because I was afraid. But now I was ready. Excited by my new realization, I smiled to myself. As I left the bathroom, I took a sip of my martini and looked through the party again, hoping to spot a budding romance between the pop star and one of the partygoers, or even maybe a fight. I hated to leave without any takeaways for my column. Before I could find anything, my phone vibrated in my pocket. I pulled it out and answered, "Hello?"
"Kate, hey, it's Hunter."
He sounded frantic, and I couldn't hear the rest of what he said over the noises of the party.
"Whoa, slow down," I said,
quickly stepping out onto the balcony where a group of models were smoking.
"What happened?" "Maddie's in the hospital."
My heart sank, and I put a hand over my mouth in shock.
"Is she okay?"
I asked, already heading for the door.
"I'm not sure yet. We just got here, and the doctors are taking a look."
His voice sounded close to breaking.
"I guess I just wanted to let you know."
"I'm coming," I said as I stepped out the front doors.
"It's okay. It sounds like you're out. You don't have to,"
he said, but I cut him off. "Hunter, I'm already on my way. I'll be there soon." I got to the hospital in record time and practically flew up the stairs. When I spotted Hunter in the waiting area, I ran up to him.
"How is she?"
I asked, trying to catch my breath.
"She's in surgery," he said, worry etched on his face. "It's her appendix. They said it's a simple procedure and that it's nothing to worry about."
I could tell that he wasn't convinced. I could only imagine how it felt as a parent to have your child in surgery. I threw my arms around him and held him tight. He wrapped his arms around me as I rested my head against his chest. It felt so comfortable to lean on him like that, so much so that I lingered, not wanting the moment to end. "She'll be fine," I said, pulling back to meet his eyes. I hated the pain and anguish I saw reflected in them. "I had the same surgery when I was her age."
"Thanks for coming."
He reached out to brush a stray hair from my face. We moved into the waiting room and sat in the hard plastic chairs.
"Of course I came. I didn't want you to be here alone."
He looked into my eyes, and my heart sped up. Now wasn't the time to tell him what I'd realized, but being here for him felt really good.
"Have you eaten anything?"
I asked, glancing at my watch. It was almost 9.
"No, actually."
He ran a hand along the back of his neck.
"I totally forgot about it."
I stood up.
"Let me go grab you something." "No, you don't have to," he said,
but I held up a hand. "Please, it's the least I can do." He smiled as I grabbed my purse and headed out the doors. 10 minutes later, I was back with a sandwich and some fruit from the hospital cafeteria.
"Any news?"
I asked as I set down the bag.
"She's out of surgery," he said, smiling. "She's fine, just recovering, and I can go see her in a bit."
I let out a sigh of relief and smiled back.
"Thank God. I haven't been that scared in a while." "Having you here meant a lot," he said as I handed him the bag. "Sorry if I interrupted your date."
Confused, I stared at him for a moment, then shook my head.
"Oh no, it wasn't a date. It was a stupid work party."
He nodded, and I could see the relief on his face. I stared at him for a moment before smiling to myself. The realization that Hunter was jealous caused a fluttering in my stomach.
"I'm glad you called me," I added, unable to hold back my grin. I wanted to tell him how important it was to me to be here for him and Maddie, to be included in moments like this, but I didn't know how to say it. Instead, I gave him another hug and melted into the feel of his arms wrapped around me.
We were interrupted by the doctor approaching.
"Maddie's parents?"
the doctor asked. Hunter rose to his feet.
"Just me."
I stood by his side, our fingers clasped together tightly as the doctor dismissed me and looked directly at Hunter with concern in her eyes.
"Maddie's awake now. She did very well. Visitation is for family only if you want to go see her now." she motioned down the hallway. Hunter turned to me.
Thanks again. I'm probably going to stay the night while Maddie recovers.
Yeah, of course, I nodded. I'll keep watch at the house. I smiled, but my heart was sinking. I didn't want to leave without them and go home to an empty house. I gave Hunter's hand a final squeeze before heading out. As I pulled in the driveway, the house looked huge and menacing in the dark without any lights on. Usually when I pulled in, I could see Maddie watching TV or playing a game in the living room window. I was struck by a pang of loneliness as I got out of my car and walked to my apartment. I'd gotten so used to having them around that I hadn't realized how it might feel when they were gone. Once I was inside, I lay down on my bed, staring up at the ceiling. My phone rang, and hoping it was Hunter, I answered it quickly without looking at the caller ID. Hunter? I said into the phone without thinking. Who's Hunter? It was my sister, Kayla. Sorry, nobody. How are you? Between moving and everything happening with Hunter, I hadn't talked to Kayla in a couple of weeks. Good, she said, drawing out the word. I hadn't heard her sound this cheerful in a long time. What's with you? I asked. You sound giddy. She laughed. Can't I just be happy? I bit my lip. I didn't want to say it, but I didn't think I'd seen her happy since before her divorce. All right, fine, she said before I had to answer. I met someone. I sat up in bed, my eyes wide. It was the second surprising phone call I'd had that night. What? Tell me everything. Kate, he's amazing, she said, practically swooning over the phone. His name is Tyler. He's so sweet and caring and helpful. Everything Jim wasn't, basically. What do you mean? I'd always thought she and Jim seemed like a great couple. Honestly, I'd never really understood why they didn't work out. I thought Jim was all of those things. She sighed. Look, Kate, there's a lot I didn't tell you about Jim and me. There were problems from the start that I didn't want to admit. I pretended we were this perfect couple so nobody would notice that we weren't that great for each other. I was floored. I'd never heard her talk this way before about Jim. He'd always seemed nice at family events, but I guess I'd never really known him that well. So you think things are different now? With Tyler? Absolutely. Seriously, I've never felt this way before. I know it sounds crazy, but he's such a great person and he understands me. I could tell she meant it. Looking back on it, I realized she'd never said things like this about Jim. I'd just assumed everything was great because they always seemed happy enough. Kayla interrupted my thoughts. I think I love him, Kate. Wow, that's amazing, I said, wandering over to the window. I automatically glanced at Hunter's window before remembering that he wasn't there. Seriously, I'm really happy for you. We caught up more on everything that had happened with her and Tyler before I told her I had to get to bed. After I hung up the phone, I curled back up on the bed. I truly was happy for Kayla. After everything she'd gone through with Jim, she deserved to find someone else. And if after her divorce she was brave enough to try again, then I really didn't have an excuse to be afraid. I didn't know how, but I needed to find a way to let Hunter know how I was feeling. I just hoped it wasn't too late.
Chapter 16. I opened the freezer door and pulled out the yellow box of popsicles, rifling through the packages to find the right flavor. Maddie had been home from the hospital for a few days, and I learned pretty quickly which colors she preferred. She wasn't a huge fan of the grape ones, and she absolutely hated the green lime ones, but everything else she got down just fine. My gaze landed on a popsicle that looked like it might be red, so I pulled it out of the box and held it up to the light. Through the thin packaging, I could see a faint red tint. Hallelujah. Red was Maddie's favorite. I walked into the living room where she was curled up under a thick, fuzzy blanket on the couch, still dressed in her pajamas and her hair a little tousled. I unwrapped the popsicle and handed it to her, making sure to place a napkin in her lap. Be careful that it doesn't start dripping, I said, brushing her hair behind her ear. I know, she said softly, nodding without taking her eyes away from the TV. She absent-mindedly pulled the frozen treat toward her mouth, missing on her first try and smearing red juice on her chin. Taking the napkin from her lap, I wiped the juice away, chuckling at how unfazed she seemed. The doctors had warned me that she would need lots of rest after the surgery, but that morning I could tell she'd turned a corner by how entranced she was with her cartoons. Her first couple of days home, she could barely keep her eyes open long enough to pay attention to them. But now she was hooked. I could already tell I'd have to be firm about getting her back to her normal screen time schedule once she was fully recovered. I'll get you another napkin, I said, kissing the top of Maddie's head before walking back into the kitchen. Turns out there was nothing more terrifying in the world than having to take your child to the hospital. I learned that the hard way. Even after the doctors reassured me that she'd be fine and that her surgery was totally routine and manageable, I couldn't deal with how helpless I'd felt. Sitting in that waiting room while strangers cut open my daughter with nothing to do but sit and wait and try not to freak out, I thought I was a calm and rational person, but based on the chaotic feelings that churned through me during that time, I was starting to question everything I thought I knew about myself. The only thing I didn't question? The fact that Maddie meant everything to me. She was my whole world, and it was my job to make sure nothing bad ever happened to her. Case closed. After grabbing a fresh napkin, I walked back into the living room and sat down next to her on the couch. I placed the napkin in her lap, smiling at the fact that her popsicle was already halfway gone.
Daddy, can we have something other than soup for dinner tonight? Maddie asked, still staring straight ahead at the TV.
What do you want instead? I did a mental inventory, trying to remember what groceries we still had. I'd been doing my best to make mild and nutritious meals with what we already had on hand.
Could we make a gluten-free pizza?
She looked up at me with wide, hopeful eyes. I smiled. Looked like someone was starting to feel better after all. A few days later, it was clear that Maddie and I needed to get out of the house. We had run out of popsicles, and our pantry desperately needed to be restocked. And for as much as she and I loved spending time together, I could tell she was ready to look at someone else's face and listen to someone else's voice for a while. And I knew just who to call. After a few rings, the line connected, and a voice I hadn't realized just how much I missed answered.
Hunter, hi. How's Maddie doing?
Hi, Kate. She's doing a lot better. Thanks for asking. I couldn't keep myself from smiling into my cell phone. Damn, I'd miss the sound of her voice.
Is her incision healing okay? No signs of infection? No weird side effects from the anesthesia?
You've been stress-googling, haven't you? We both laughed.
Listen, she said, her tone turning serious. This is the first surgery in my life in a long time, and it turns out there's a lot to worry about with these things. Hospitals are rife with infections and all sorts of other things you can catch.
I smiled. How is it that Kate just gets better and better every time we talk?
Well, it's very sweet of you to worry, but she's doing fine. Good. I'm glad to hear it. It took just about every ounce of self-control I had to keep myself from texting you every 5 seconds.
You can always text me, Kate. You know that, right? She paused, and I worried for a second that I'd said too much. Whatever, it's true. Our physical arrangement might have been a casual one, but rushing to the hospital to help when my daughter had to have emergency surgery, not exactly what you'd expect from a casual hookup.
I know, I didn't want to overstep.
I understand, I said slowly. But just for the record, you wouldn't have been overstepping, not in the slightest. A longer silence stretched between us, and I really started to worry that I'd freaked her out. Kate, you still there?
Sorry, yes, I'm here.
Her voice sounded smaller, more timid than usual.
That was just sweet, Hunter.
It's true. So listen, I was calling to see if you wanted to join Maddie and me on a short trip to the park this afternoon. We're going a little stir-crazy over here. Plus, she would love to see you. I had to lighten the mood before Kate hung up and wrote me off as the clingy idiot who didn't know how to keep a relationship with a woman casual.
I would love to, she replied. When are you planning to leave?
How does 3 work for you?
3 sounds perfect. Meet you at your front door, then.
Looking forward to it.
After we hung up, I went to tell Maddie the good news.
Guess what? I asked, walking into the living room and standing next to the TV.
What?
You and I are going to the park later today, and I just got off the phone with our neighbor Kate, and she said she would come with us.
Really?
Maddie turned to look at me, her eyes wide and her eyebrows raised. It was really starting to melt my heart how much she enjoyed spending time with Kate.
Really?
Yay! She cried, bouncing in her seat on the couch and kicking her legs in excitement underneath the blanket.
You know what that means, don't you?
I asked, placing my hands on my hips. She shook her head.
It's time for you to change out of those pajamas.
Maddie and I spent the next couple of hours tidying up the living room and getting ready for the park, making sure to keep her incision site clean and protected. She seemed excited to put some real clothes on, and when I helped her tie her tennis shoes, I could tell from the look on her face that she was ready to play outside. At 3 o'clock on the dot, Kate knocked on her front door. I went to answer it with Maddie trailing close behind, and the moment I opened the door, Maddie reached out to wrap her arms around Kate's waist.
Oh, hi there, Kate said, clearly touched by the hug.
She looked at me and smiled, her eyes widening.
I'm feeling a lot better,
Maddie said, letting go of Kate and stepping back to look up at her.
I ate a lot of popsicles.
Popsicles, really? I'm jealous.
I haven't had one of those in a long time,
Kate replied, shaking her head. As the two of them chatted in the doorway, I slung the backpack I'd packed over my shoulder that held the supplies to clean Maddie's incision, just in case we needed them, as well as a couple of waters, an extra jacket in case she got cold, and a couple of granola bars in case she got hungry. I knew I was overreacting a little, but hey, I was still recovering from her surgery, too. Maddie and Kate continued chatting during the whole car ride over to the park, with Maddie explaining what the hospital was like and exactly what it felt like when she woke up. I loved hearing how animated she got talking about this whole experience and appreciated how intently Kate listened and followed along. I'd been worried that Maddie might have been a little traumatized by the whole thing, but she was bouncing back even faster than I'd hoped, both physically and emotionally. At the park, Maddie led Kate and me to her favorite playground, where she quickly found another little girl her age to play with and tell her hospital story to. Kate and I watched the two of them chatter and giggle for a while before they climbed to the top of the slide where they huddled together and giggled some more. I called out to Maddie to remember to take it easy, no running or jumping since she was still healing.
I forgot how easy it is to make friends at that age, Kate said with a smile, crossing her arms over her chest.
It feels good to get some fresh air. I sighed and stretched out my arms. I feel like I haven't talked to an adult in months.
Well, that's not quite true, Kate said, rubbing her arm. How was your date?
I paused. Date? Kate dipped her chin and gave me an incredulous look.
With June?
Shit. Oh, right. My date with June. God, does the fact that I completely forgot about it make me a total asshole?
Only half an asshole, I think,
Kate laughed. Maybe it was just wishful thinking, but I could have sworn she looked a little relieved. I'll take it. I looked over at her with a half grin. Well, the date wasn't great, if that wasn't already clear. I chuckled, running my hand over the back of my neck.
What happened?
She didn't do anything wrong. We just didn't really have anything in common besides our kids. Kate tilted her head, giving me a sidelong look.
That seems like a pretty big thing to have in common to me.
You'd think it would help, wouldn't you? I smiled wryly back at her. But it turns out sticking two single parents at the same dinner table isn't a surefire recipe for romance.
I'm not sure that recipe exists, she said, looking down at her feet.
Maybe not, but I did figure one thing out on that date.
What's that?
That I missed you. Kate paused then, looking at me with wide, stunned eyes, clearly taken aback.
Hunter,
don't worry, I know. I'm not trying to push you into a relationship. What we have is casual, strictly physical. It's just,
I would be lying if I said that my shitty date didn't make me wish you were the one I'd had a nice dinner with, not June. It's not that I don't, really, you don't have to explain. I'm not asking you for anything more. It's just that sometimes I wish we wanted the same thing. But I'm not that guy. You made it clear what you want. I just need to accept that. It's on me. Kate opened her mouth to speak, but before she could get any words out, Maddie came bounding back up to us with a surprising amount of energy. "Daddy, can I have a snack?" she asked, grabbing my hand and pulling it toward her. "Sure, just give me one sec." I pulled a granola bar out of the backpack and handed it to her. She quickly unwrapped it and took a huge bite. When I checked my watch, it made sense why she was so hungry. It was 4:30, her normal pre-dinner popsicle time. I really need to get her back onto our normal routine. "Are you feeling tired at all, Maddie?" I asked. "I'm not tired," she said, scrunching her brows together and looking up at me with a stubborn look on her face. "Okay, you can play for a little while longer," I replied. Maddie scampered off then to get her turn on the swing with her new friend. "Has work been understanding of everything that's been going on?" Kate asked. I smiled, suddenly grateful for her merciful change of subject. We continued chatting for the rest of our time at the park and during the whole car ride back to the house. Everything seemed to be back to normal by then, and I silently hoped that she'd let my small confession go for good. It's not that I regretted telling Kate how I felt. I did wish that we wanted the same things. But she made it clear from the beginning what she wanted, and that didn't include long-term commitment or a kid. No matter how I was starting to feel or what I wanted, one thing was clear. I needed to get over it.
Chapter 17. What are you two doing today? I waited for Hunter to reply as I Googled fun things to do in the city. I needed to let him know how I felt, and since communication wasn't exactly my strong suit, I decided to show him instead of telling him. I was ready for all of it, the relationship, the commitment, even trying on motherhood. And what better way to show that than to plan a fun day date with him and Maddie?
"We're just hanging out today. What's up?"
"Meet me out front in 30. I have an idea." I grinned as I got ready, pulling on a light summer dress that was both flattering and family appropriate. After much deliberation, I decided to take them to the zoo. There was a special exhibit with baby foxes that I'd been hearing about, and I thought it would be cute for Maddie to see them. I knew how much she had loved seeing dinosaur skeletons, and I hoped she'd be just as excited to see animals that were still alive. I waited out front, nervously tapping my foot, hoping I wasn't being too spontaneous by hijacking their whole day. I mentally slapped myself. Where was my confidence? The day was going to be great. All my doubts flew from my head as Hunter emerged from the house in a black t-shirt and jeans. He looked as sexy as always, and I had to resist giving him a kiss hello. Maddie ran out from behind him, wearing a pink skirt with a gray t-shirt that said POW in big white letters. "Cool outfit," I said, grinning. It was perfect for her. "Thanks," she smiled, slipping on a pair of black sunglasses. I held back a laugh, glancing at Hunter. His expressive brown eyes lit up with a smile that sent my heart spiraling. "Hey," I said, shielding my eyes from the sun. "Thanks for going along with my spontaneity."
"We can always use some excitement,"
he grinned back at me. His eyes traced up and down my body, taking in my dress. My breath caught as his gaze paused for a moment at my breasts, which were pressing against the thin material. I felt my nipples harden and hoped he wouldn't notice. My gaze lingered on him for a few seconds before I realized Maddie was looking between us. "Okay," I said quickly, tearing my gaze from Hunter. "So, are you guys ready to go on an adventure?" I started for my car when Hunter shook his head and guided us to his instead.
"Car seat," he said.
"Ah, right. I guess I had a lot to learn." I climbed in, and he opened the door to the back seat as Maddie got inside. "Where are we going?" she asked suspiciously.
"It's a surprise, but I promise it'll be fun."
Hunter strapped Maddie into the back seat before settling into the front.
As we got closer to the zoo, I glanced back and saw Maddie leaning against the window, trying to figure out where we were. When we turned the corner, she gasped.
Are we seeing the foxes?
How did you know about that exhibit? I asked, raising an eyebrow at Hunter.
Everyone knows about it, she exclaimed.
I laughed, so relieved she was excited about it that I didn't even care that the surprise was ruined. When we entered the zoo, Maddie practically sprinted off for the fox exhibit. We looked through the glass at the little foxes, their big ears sticking up.
Do you like them?
I asked Maddie, who was pressing her face against the glass and waving at them.
They're so cool, she said, not taking her eyes off them.
Do you want to play with one? She turned to me with her mouth open, apparently speechless. I bought a special ticket so you can hold one, I told her, pulling the ticket out of my bag. Her eyes went wide, and she looked at Hunter. He put his hands up.
Don't look at me. This was all Kate.
He grinned at me as Maddie gaped.
Come on, let's go.
I motioned toward the ticket desk. The zoo workers led us into a special room. Maddie was so excited she was bouncing up and down in anticipation, and in that moment I felt pretty damn proud of myself. When they finally brought the baby fox in, Maddie let out a little shriek. I grinned at Hunter as she held out a tentative hand to pet its soft fur. Hunter's hand pressed against my lower back.
This is pretty amazing. Thanks for putting this together.
My pleasure. I'm having fun.
Not as much fun as her, he said, nodding toward Maddie, who was squealing with excitement as the little animal licked her hand.
Nobody has ever had that much fun, I laughed, pulling out my phone to get a picture.
When she was finished, Maddie came bounding over to us and wrapped her arms around my waist, telling me that was the best day she'd ever had. Shocked, I hugged her back. I'd known she was excited, but I hadn't expected this. Unexpected tears sprang to my eyes, and I quickly blinked them away. Get a grip, Kate. Apparently, I'd turned into a huge softy. As we walked through the zoo, I couldn't keep the smile off my face. Spending time with Hunter and Maddie was even more fun than I'd expected. It felt so natural to be with them like this, and I couldn't help but imagine us doing this kind of thing every weekend. We came to the big cats exhibit, where the lion had just had a cub. A huge crowd had gathered in front of the exhibit, and when we finally made our way to the front, we could see the mother lion with her baby.
That's the dad, I said, pointing to the male lion that was sunning himself nearby.
I watched Maddie as she leaned against the railing, and all this talk of babies and moms and dads made a question spring to mind. Do the people around us think I'm Maddie's mom? My stomach did a little flip at the thought, and I realized I'd been secretly hoping that's what they thought. Normally, I wasn't such a bundle of emotions, but the idea of the three of us being a family made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. The idea of belonging, of being part of my own personal tribe, sounded better than I ever thought it would. I watched Hunter as he crouched down and recited lion facts for Maddie. His dark hair had grown a little longer since I'd first met him, and he had a shadow of facial hair dusting his strong jaw. Warmth spread through me as I watched him. I wanted him now even more than I had that first night when he was just some hot, nameless guy at a bar. Now he was so much more than that. He stood up and glanced over at me. When our eyes met, a warm shiver raced through me. What was it about this man that tore down all my defenses? Hoping to get my mind off all the sudden emotion I was feeling, I suggested we ride the little train that drove throughout the zoo. Maddie got a kick out of holding up her arms like she was on a roller coaster, and by the end of the train ride, my face hurt from laughing so much. By the time we'd finished at the zoo, it was almost closing time.
I'm starving, Maddie declared as we walked toward the car.
If you guys are up for it, I know of some good dinner spots around here. My treat, I said as Hunter buckled Maddie into the back seat.
You've already done enough, Kate, Hunter said as he settled into the front seat.
I want to, I smiled. Besides, I need to continue your culinary education.
He gave me a crooked grin.
Well, If it's going to be educational, I can't really say no, can I?
I directed him to take us to one of my favorite vegan restaurants. It was hard to please kids, especially with health food, but I had a feeling Maddie would appreciate it, especially because I knew they had an extensive gluten-free menu. Once we were seated at our table, I raised my water glass. Cheers to a great day.
It was awesome, Maddie said as we clinked glasses. She picked up her menu, holding it upside down.
I turned the menu around and read her some of the options, sensing Hunter's gaze on me as I helped Maddie settle on a gluten-free mac and cheese. When the food arrived, Hunter and Maddie dove into their meals excitedly.
This is actually good, Hunter said, surprise in his voice as he took another bite of his sandwich.
Maddie seemed equally impressed. We finished off our meal by splitting a vegan cupcake. A pang of sadness hit me as we left the restaurant. I wasn't ready for the night to end, but I didn't think I could continue to hold them hostage any longer. When we pulled up to the house, Maddie jumped out of the car and started to run inside.
Maddie, what do you have to say to Kate?
Hunter asked before she'd gone inside. She stopped in her tracks, turning back to me, then ran over and gave me another hug.
Thank you, she said, her head resting on my stomach.
Anytime. I patted her on the head, my heart swelling. After she'd gone inside, Hunter walked me over to my door.
Thanks for today. We had a great time.
He smiled at me, making my insides warm again.
I have a feeling Maddie is going to be talking about today for a while.
I leaned against the doorframe. His lips looked so good that it took all my restraint not to kiss him. I had a great time too, I smiled, purposely lingering. I wondered if I should tell him how I'd been feeling, just blurt it out and get it out in the open, but I couldn't come up with the words. It was such a perfect moment. All I had to do was say it. God, I was so terrible at this. No wonder I'd never had a relationship. I needed to figure out the right way to tell him how I felt before I totally lost my mind.
Well, good night, I finally said, unable to handle the silence any longer.
Good night.
His gaze on mine seemed so heavy, almost magnetic, like I couldn't look away. I felt like he was waiting for me to say something, but my heart was pounding so hard I didn't think I could get any words out. I quickly stepped inside and smiled at him one more time before shutting the door behind me. As I walked upstairs to my apartment, I sighed. That wasn't my smoothest moment. He'd probably been waiting for me to make the first move, and instead I'd messed it up by being totally awkward. As I walked by the window, I noticed the light on in Hunter's room. I felt another twinge of sadness that I wasn't going home with him and Maddie. The day had been so fun and comfortable. It had almost been like we were a real family. I hoped he'd understood what I was trying to tell him by planning the day, but I knew I needed to work up the courage to tell him how I felt before I lost him.
Chapter 18. Today had been entirely unexpected. I would have never imagined that Kate, of all people, could plan such a kid-friendly date. Watching her excitement when we strolled into the zoo and seeing Maddie light up at the baby foxes, it had honestly been one of the best days in a long time. Maybe that was crazy of me to think, but it was true. Until Kate came into our lives, I hadn't realized quite how hungry I was for a real relationship with a woman. Of course, it was with the same woman who had sat me down prior to our first hookup and made me promise that we'd keep this casual and had talked about avoiding developing feelings like it was a fatal disease. God, how badly I wished that she wanted the same things I did. After the day we'd had, it didn't surprise me at all how quickly Maddie went to sleep. As I crept out of her room, closing the door gently behind me, I grabbed the monitor I rarely used, planning to walk over to Kate's place to thank her one more time and say goodnight. Today had gone so smoothly, even after I admitted my feelings to her at the park the other day. I was worried that what I said might have scared her off, but after the day we had, it felt like maybe she'd just let that indiscretion go. I knocked on Kate's door, and within moments, she opened it, a small smile on her face. Even though we'd spent the whole day together, I couldn't help but be a little blown away by her beauty. Her hair was swept back into a loose braid, and she'd changed into a pair of yoga pants and a soft-looking t-shirt. Even in casual loungewear, she was sexy. And the way she was looking at me, with that sweet little smile and that knowing look in her eye, my heart thumped fast. "Is Maddie asleep?" she asked, stepping aside to let me in. I held up the monitor. I could barely keep her awake long enough to brush her teeth. Even though I'd been to Kate's apartment a dozen times by now, seeing what she'd done with the place still brought a smile to my face. When I'd listed this little apartment above my garage, I'd imagined some sad loner moving into it, someone who would barely be a blip on my radar except once a month to pay rent and utilities. But Kate had breathed new life into what used to be an empty, unused space. Part of me wondered if I was still talking about the apartment or my heart. From her pristine kitchen tools to her killer record collection to her smile and sex appeal, Kate was a total and complete surprise to me. Honestly, I couldn't imagine my life without her. "Can I get you something to drink? Water? Wine? I picked up a new bottle of red a couple days ago that I think might actually be decent, even though it was only $6. She walked into her kitchen and pulled out a dark bottle with a white label on it, holding it up to read the description. "A glass of wine would be great." I followed her into the kitchen and took a seat at the table. She set the bottle on the counter and pulled a wine opener out of one of the drawers. "Need any help getting that bottle open?" I asked. "The day I need a man to open my wine for me is the day I give up drinking," she scoffed, popping the cork out of the bottle with ease. "I appreciate you asking, though," she added with a grin. After taking a couple of stemless wine glasses down from the shelf, Kate poured us each a glass and joined me at the table. I thanked her and took the glass in my hand, very aware of our fingers brushing with the exchange. "To independent women," I said, raising my glass into the air. Kate smiled, arching a playful eyebrow and cocking her head to the side. "And to the men who are secure enough to let them stay that way," she said, clinking her glass to mine. I smiled back and took a sip of the wine while Kate did the same. It was sweeter than I expected and didn't exactly taste like wine, but it was still drinkable. "Grape juice. That tastes exactly like grape juice," Kate said, shaking her head and swirling the liquid around in her glass. "Nothing wrong with a $6 bottle of grape juice," I replied, giving her a reassuring smile. Kate shrugged and took another sip of wine. So, hey, I just wanted to say thank you for today," I said, trying to get my thoughts in order before I completely scared her off for good. Maddie's mom isn't around, and the older she gets, the more I worry about her having good female figures in her life. So, spending all this time with you, especially today, it means a lot. I know you're not really into the whole kid thing, which I completely understand, but still, you are a natural. Kate stared at me, her eyes wide and her brows raised. Then she chuckled softly, looking down at her hands and shaking her head. "That's what I wanted to show you today. I didn't want to just tell you with words. I wanted you to see what I want, how I feel about Maddie and you." She looked up at me then, her eyes meeting mine with a tenderness I had rarely seen from her before. "I've fallen for you," Kate said, her eyes still locked with mine. "Both of you. I know you're a package deal, and that's what I want. I didn't think I wanted this in my future. I always thought being tied down would feel like, well, being tied down. I had no idea how good it could feel. Like I've finally found my people, the tribe that I belong to." My throat was thick with emotion, but Kate wasn't done. "Once I met you and saw how my future could look, it all became so clear. I want more." I reached out and took her hands in mine, running my thumbs over her knuckles. "You have no idea how good it feels to hear you say that." I brought her fingers to my lips, letting the reality of Kate's words sink in. This was everything I ever wanted. "Come on," I said, still holding her hand as I rose from my seat. "Where are we?" She stood and started to speak, but before she could finish her sentence, I pulled her to me and pressed my lips to hers. She sighed, her body softening against mine as she wrapped her arms around me. One slow kiss became three or four quicker ones. "Let's go," I said, suddenly pulling away and leading Kate to the front door. She nodded and followed, her mouth still slightly open as we made our way to my house. Once inside, the two of us crept up the stairs and quietly passed Maddie's room to mine. Kate and I might have been on the same page, but I hadn't talked to Maddie about any of this yet, and the last thing we needed was to freak her out again. When we reached my bedroom, I ushered Kate in, pulling the door closed and making sure, as always, to lock it behind us. I turned around to find her sitting on the edge of my bed. Our eyes locked, and she reached her hand out toward me, turning it over and curling her index finger toward her in a come-hither motion. My cock stirred in my pants as I walked toward her, my mind swimming with all the things I wanted to do to her. It was a powerful thing knowing she felt the same way about me that I did about her. I joined her on the bed, propping myself over her body. Our mouths met with a newfound urgency, our bodies instinctively moving against each other. She ran her hands over my back and up to my neck, curling her fingers through my hair. I trailed my lips down to the tender skin at the crook of her neck, and Kate moaned softly. My cock stirred again at the sounds she was making, and suddenly I hated the fact that we both still had our clothes on. Sitting up, I pulled Kate with me, taking the hem of her t-shirt between my fingers. She raised her arms above her head as I pulled the soft fabric over her body, revealing a lacy, light pink bra underneath. I couldn't help the low growl the sight of her perfect breasts brought out of me. She grinned, pulling my shirt over my head as well. She wrapped her arms around my neck as we kissed again, and I reached out to unfasten her bra from behind. Within seconds, I had the clasp undone, and both of us sighed as she pressed her breasts against my bare skin. Perfection. She was sheer perfection. My tongue swirled against hers, and I took her breast in my hand, massaging it gently and pinching her nipple between my fingers. Kate moaned softly, moving her hand up my thigh to the growing erection in my pants. I groaned at the feel of her fingers over my cock and quickly grew frustrated by the fabric between them. As Kate continued rubbing my rock-hard manhood, I slipped my fingers under the waistband of her leggings, reaching down to touch her wet panties. She gasped as my fingers met her damp skin. After a few moments, I needed more, and I pulled my hand out of Kate's pants, causing her to whimper softly. Peeling the leggings away from her, I ran my tongue down her thigh as I lowered them inch by inch, nibbling gently on her soft skin. Once her leggings were off, I tugged her panties off too, tossing them onto the floor. In one swift motion, I removed my own pants and underwear, my cock springing free and aching to be inside her. Kate lay on her back and opened her legs to invite me closer. I lowered myself over her, aligning myself at the needy spot between her legs. "I want you inside me," she whispered, shifting her hips to tease my tip. "Condom?" I asked. She shook her head. "I'm on birth control, and I trust you." Locking my eyes with hers, I entered her, slowly burying my shaft into her, inch by inch. When I was completely inside, Kate sighed and closed her eyes, reveling in the pleasure of being completely filled. I brought my lips to hers as I pumped my hips, slowly and gently at first, our kisses tender and sweet. Kate rocked her hips in time with my movements, and as we established a rhythm, each of us groaned with pleasure. When I felt her tightening around me and sensed she was getting close, I reached down to rub my thumb over her slick bud, a move that always drove her crazy. The moment I applied pressure there, she threw her head back with a gasp that quickly turned into a moan. Watching her take her pleasure and hearing the sound she made turned me on to no end, causing my balls to tighten and pressure to build low in my spine. Just as she began to let go, her body constricting around mine, I followed her over the edge, waves of pleasure dragging both of us under at the same time. Once the waves subsided, I rolled over and onto my back next to Kate, both of us panting. "That was incredible,"
she said between breaths, running her hand over my chest. You're amazing. I stroked every inch of silky skin I could find, her shoulders, the curve of her hip, her thigh. Kate rolled onto her side and propped her head on her elbow, a new sparkle in her eye. A pretty good end to a pretty good day, don't you think? Absolutely. I leaned over and kissed the back of her hand. She smiled, then leaned into me and placed a long, deep kiss on my lips. I'll be right back, she said, rising and walking to the bathroom. As Kate cleaned up, I lay in bed and stared at the ceiling, one arm behind my head. I still couldn't believe she actually wanted more, after everything she'd sworn she'd never want. It seemed almost too good to be true. I rolled onto my side and saw my cell phone on the bedside table. A thought hit me, and my stomach sank. There was still the matter of talking to Maddie. While she seemed to really like Kate, and I obviously really appreciated Kate's presence in her life, the last thing I wanted was for Maddie to feel blindsided. My daughter and I had never really talked about what would happen if I was in a relationship, and the more I thought about it, the more worried I became about how she would take it. Kate returned from the bathroom and crawled into bed next to me, curling her body next to mine. What you thinking about? She asked, brushing her fingers across my jaw. Nothing, I said, still staring at the ceiling. When Kate didn't respond, I could feel her staring at me and knew I'd have to give her something. Actually, I just remembered. We should probably set an alarm for the morning so we can get up and moving before Maddie does. Kate pulled her hand away from my hair. I turned to look at her and was surprised to see a hurt look on her face. She knew I was a dad, that I had obligations. Then she gave me a tight-lipped smile and nodded. We'll talk about it more in the morning. I placed a soft kiss on her forehead before rolling over to pick up my phone. I set an alarm for 5:30, my mind still buzzing with worry about how this new future would play out.
Chapter 19. I stared out the window, lost in thought. I still couldn't believe I'd told Hunter how I felt, and that he felt the same. It had been less than 24 hours ago, and I was still reeling from the experience. It was so picture-perfect that I was having a hard time convincing myself that it wasn't all too good to be true. And yet, a sliver of doubt nagged at me. When he'd set the alarm for me to sneak out this morning, I'd been hurt, but I tried to reason with myself that he just didn't want Maddie finding out that way. It would probably bring up traumatic memories for her to see me coming out of Hunter's room in the morning, and I got that. But I couldn't help wondering if his doing that meant something else entirely. Was he not sure about starting a relationship? Or did he not see a long-term future for us? I knew I was being childish, but I couldn't help it. Apparently, this was what having feelings for someone did to you. It made you totally irrational. I was determined not to let my overactive imagination get me down, especially because Hunter had texted me earlier asking me to come over. I assumed he wanted to discuss what I'd told him last night, but he hadn't given any hints as to what exactly he had to say about it. I sprayed perfume on my wrists and rubbed them together. I was trying to stay calm, but in truth, I was a nervous wreck. I'd never put myself out there the way I had yesterday, and I was terrified of being rejected, or that somehow it would all go wrong. I brushed my teeth and headed down the stairs, sending myself positive energy. I rang his doorbell, fluffing my hair as I waited for him to answer it. When Hunter pulled open the door, my heart jumped into my throat at the sight of him. Even after everything that had happened, I was still blown away by how attractive he was. And not just his smoking hot body and killer smile, but by the little happy dance I did inside whenever I was around him. Hey, come on in. He gestured me inside, and I followed him. Where's Maddie? I asked as I stepped into the living room, expecting to see her there. She went to a friend's house for a birthday party, he said, leading me over to the couch. I settled in, smoothing my skirt anxiously as he sat next to me. As nervous as I was, I still found myself distracted by being near Hunter. He'd shaven recently, making his chiseled jawline even more prominent, and the scent of aftershave hung in the air between us.
I could just make out the definition of his biceps underneath his t-shirt, and on the walk to the couch, I'd gotten a glimpse of how good his butt looked in his black jeans. He smiled, and I wanted to kiss him right then, but I didn't. Talking first. "So," he said, rubbing the back of his neck. "Last night." When he trailed off for a moment, my heart sank. Then he took a deep breath and continued. "I just wanted us to get on the same page about what we're expecting from this. I really like you. I liked you from the beginning, but I knew you didn't want to be involved in something serious. So I guess I'm just wondering if you meant everything you said last night." I scooted closer to him on the couch. My thoughts and emotions were running a mile a minute, but I was starting to feel my anxiety melt away. He wanted this to be serious as much as I did. "Of course I meant it," I said, putting a hand on top of his to assure him. "I'm ready for this. I want to be here for you, and for Maddie. I know I've always said I didn't want a relationship, but it was just because I was afraid, and I obviously hadn't found the right person." A smile broke out on his face, and he put his arm around me, running his fingers along my shoulder. His eyes met mine, and a delighted quiver ran through me. "If we do this, I want it all." My heart pumped faster. "Everything. It's yours." I was ready to leave behind all my fears and doubts and be in a committed relationship with Hunter and with Maddie. And now that we were here in this moment, my worries almost seemed ridiculous. What had I been so afraid of? Being with Hunter was the easiest thing in the world. He leaned in to kiss me, his full lips pressing against mine. After a few more sweet kisses, I pulled back. "If we're going to do this, I want to do it right. Before we go any further, I think we need to tell Maddie." She had warmed up to me more than I'd expected lately, so I hoped it would go smoothly. "Yeah, I guess we do." He sighed, worry etched on his face. I raised an eyebrow at him. "Hunter, are you afraid of your own daughter?" "What can I say? She's intimidating." He grinned, then reached out to brush my hair behind my ear. "But seriously, no matter how she reacts when we tell her, it'll be okay. She'll get used to it. Besides, she really does like you. I hope you understand my anxiety. It's just been me and her all these years." He pulled me toward him so that my head was resting on his chest. My heart swelled as I looked up at him. "I know, Hunter. Don't worry. Everything will work out." I sighed, allowing myself to melt into his arms. For everyone's sake, I hoped he was right.
"Maddie, dinner is here," Hunter called to her out the back door. She'd been dropped off by a friend's mom just in time for dinner. We'd ordered in from her favorite Mexican restaurant. Plus, I'd gone out to stock up on ingredients for hot fudge sundaes. We figured if we fed her enough good food, she'd be more likely to support our relationship. She ran in, and her face lit up when she saw the spread.
"Why do you get this?" she asked, her happy smile turning to a suspicious stare.
"We just wanted to do something special," Hunter grinned, ruffling her hair. If she was still suspicious, she kept it quiet. I piled her plate with taco meat, beans, and rice.
"How was the party, Maddie?"
I asked as we settled in to eat.
I figured we'd sedate her with the food first, then bring up the change in our relationship, from landlord and tenant to boyfriend and girlfriend.
"I jumped on a trampoline," she said excitedly after she swallowed a mouthful of rice.
"That's impressive," I smiled at her. "I was afraid of trampolines until I was 6.
"I'm not afraid of anything," Maddie said proudly.
I snorted. "You know what? I believe you."
Soon we'd finished dinner, and I started setting up the sundae bar.
"So we've got chocolate and vanilla ice cream, sprinkles, fudge, peanuts, and cherries." I showed her the different options I'd laid out.
"Awesome,"
she grinned, standing on tiptoe to get a better look.
"Which toppings do you want?" Hunter asked, scooping out vanilla into a bowl for Maddie.
"I want Kate to make it," she said, glancing over at me.
Hunter laughed, putting his hands up.
I guess she doesn't trust my cooking anymore now that you've come around, he said, handing the bowl to me.
I couldn't believe how great it felt to be with them like this, and I hoped Maddie felt the same.
Fudge and sprinkles? I asked Maddie, and she nodded enthusiastically.
Once we'd all sat down with our ice cream, Hunter and I made eye contact. Now was the perfect time to tell her. I took a deep breath, mentally preparing myself for the worst-case scenario.
So, Maddie, we have something to tell you, Hunter began gently.
She paused with her spoon halfway to her mouth, ice cream dripping over the sides.
What? She asked, setting the spoon down.
Well, Kate and I have been spending a lot of time together.
I tried to keep the smile plastered on my face, but really, I just wanted him to spit it out. Patience really wasn't my strong suit. Luckily, he continued quickly.
We really like each other, and we're in a relationship now, so you'll be seeing even more of her around here.
There was a beat of silence.
That's it?
Maddie asked, picking up the spoon again and taking a bite.
Duh, I knew that.
She paused.
I think it's cool.
Hunter and I exchanged glances, then burst out laughing.
What?
Maddie gave us both a perplexed look.
You guys are so weird.
Grinning stupidly to keep from laughing, I dipped my spoon into my sundae and took a bite. Things might have started off unconventionally, but I had a feeling we were headed for a very happy ending.
Chapter 20. 6 months later. The smell of ginger and spices wafted through the air as I walked through the front door, a plastic bag of groceries hanging from my hand. The door swung shut behind me, and I entered the kitchen to find Kate and Maddie huddled around the table, laser-focused on constructing an epic gluten-free gingerbread house. How are my girls? I asked, setting the bag of sweets on the table and leaning down to place a kiss on top of Maddie's head.
Did you remember to get the little red dots?
Maddie asked, looking at me like her question was the most serious thing she'd ever asked me and that my life depended on the answer. Yes, ma'am, I replied, stepping around the table to kiss Kate hello. I got a little something for you, too, I added.
Ah, thanks, babe.
Kate said, barely looking up from her task. She was squeezing a huge tube of white frosting, meticulously dispensing the sugary glue between two slabs of gingerbread. Once she finished piping the frosting, she set the tube down on the table and gently pressed the two edges together. Okay, Maddie, now we just need to wait for this last wall to dry, and then it'll be time to really get our decorating on. Maddie nodded silently, her eyes trained on the newly laid frosting. How about some hot chocolate while we wait? I offered, unpacking the candies from the bag.
Yay!
Maddie quickly clambered down from her chair at the table and scurried to the pantry to help me get the hot chocolate ingredients. Once Maddie was out of earshot, I placed a hand on Kate's shoulder and asked, How was she while I was gone? She's listening to you, right? No issues? Kate chuckled and shook her head. Just because I've moved in doesn't mean that things are going to change between Maddie and me. She was perfect. You really don't need to worry about us. I let out a sigh of relief. Kate had moved in for good last week. I'd figured there might be an adjustment period for all three of us, but so far things had gone smoothly. I know you're right. I just worry sometimes, you know? This is still new territory for all of us. Well, I appreciate your concern, but trust me, everything's perfect. Kate smiled, and I leaned down to kiss her again, this time a little longer than before.
Daddy! Maddie called out. Come help me make hot chocolate!
I broke away from the kiss, and Kate let out a small giggle. I guess that's something we'll just have to get used to, won't we? You'd think we'd be used to being interrupted by now, I said with a wink. We both laughed, and I walked over to the fridge and pulled out the milk.
Hey, Daddy.
Yeah, Maddie.
Is Kate gonna live with us forever?
Shit. When Kate and I decided she should move in, we'd had a talk with Maddie about it, but she didn't have many questions at the time. Kate had said she thought that was a good sign, but I'd been worried. And now that Maddie was asking me questions like that, I wasn't sure what her reaction would be, no matter how I responded. "That's the plan," I said, turning the heat to low and setting the wooden spoon on the counter. "Is that okay with you? I know we talked about it before and you said it was okay, but it's also okay if you're scared about it now." Maddie shook her head, looking down at her toes. "No, I'm not scared," she said, picking at a piece of frosting stuck to her shirt. "Then what is it, sweetie?"
"I just really like it that she lives here now."
I smiled, crouching down and pulling Maddie in for a hug. "Me too." I gave the hot chocolate one final stir before taking three mugs out of the cabinet. As I poured the hot liquid into the mugs, Maddie followed closely behind, dropping a handful of mini marshmallows into each one. "Do you want a candy cane in yours?" I asked, ripping the bag open and pulling out one of the mini red and white candies. Maddie shook her head vigorously.
"No, that's gross."
"Well, I want one." I hooked a candy cane over the lip of the mug. "Kate, do you want a candy cane in your hot chocolate?" I called over to her.
"No, that's gross," she called back.
Maddie and I both laughed.
"See, I told you."
Maddie raised her eyebrows and placed her hands on her hips. Maybe I wasn't as prepared for this whole two-against-one thing as I thought. It was hard enough with one double X gender in the house, let alone two. I was seriously outnumbered. I carried Kate and Maddie's mugs over to the table while Maddie climbed into the chair next to Kate, sitting up on her knees to get a better view of the house.
"Is it ready?"
Maddie asked.
"Just about," Kate smiled. "In the meantime, why don't we start opening these bags of candy?"
"I'll get you some bowls," I said. As I walked across the kitchen toward the cabinet, Maddie and Kate continued chattering behind me, their giggles and laughter bringing a huge smile to my face. Kate and Maddie got to work on decorating the house, Maddie pointing out the places she wanted to put a gumdrop, and Kate piping a small dot of frosting in the exact spot. They were a great team. Kate was patient with Maddie when she continually changed her mind at the last second, and Maddie hung on Kate's every word. It was sweet. I really couldn't have picked a better woman for my daughter to look up to. Kate was strong, confident, and independent, all the things I wanted Maddie to be. By the time they were making their finishing touches about half an hour later, the gingerbread house looked perfect, and the two of them were completely covered in frosting and sugar.
"What do you think, Daddy?"
Maddie asked when they were done, proudly outstretching her arms around their creation. "You two did a great job." She smiled, staring at the gingerbread house with pride. Suddenly, her gaze snapped over to Kate.
"When do we get to eat it?"
A couple of hours later, we put Maddie to bed and headed into our bedroom. I made sure to close our door, but I didn't need to lock it anymore. Maddie knew to knock if she needed anything. While I changed, Kate stood in the bathroom, washing the final bits of frosting off her hands. "I don't know if I'll ever get this sugar out from underneath my fingernails," she said, pulling a nail brush out of the drawer and scrubbing at her fingertips. "That just means you'll be even sweeter than you already are," I replied, tossing my jeans into the hamper and pulling my t-shirt off over my head. Kate snorted.
"That's super corny, babe."
"Dad jokes come with the territory," I shrugged. "Having second thoughts about moving in?" She smiled, her gaze wandering lazily over my bare chest. She walked over to me and ran her hands over my biceps before wrapping her arms around my neck.
"Not even a little."
I pulled her close, tipping her chin up to meet mine and took her lips in a sweet kiss. My cock gave an eager twitch in my boxers, and judging by the look on Kate's face, she felt it too. She arched an eyebrow, pressing her body a little harder into mine.
"How you doing there, big guy?"
I let my hands wander down her back to her perfect ass, taking a handful of her cheeks in each hand and squeezing, causing her to arch her back, rubbing her body against mine. "I think you know how I'm doing," I growled, bringing my lips to her neck, grazing the tender spot below her ear. She sighed, leaning her head back and running her fingers through my hair.
"Why don't you show me?"
she said breathlessly, trailing her fingernails over my back, sending desire shooting straight up my spine. I growled again into her neck, my cock now straining against my boxers and pressing into her belly. Releasing her ass, I pulled her top over her head, quickly undoing the clasp on her bra to reveal her full, supple breasts. Taking one of her nipples in my mouth, I sucked on it gently and Kate moaned, running her fingers through my hair again. As I continued kissing and sucking on her breast, I moved my hands to the waist of her jeans, unbuttoning them and pulling the zipper down. Leading her to our bed, I pulled Kate on top of me, her legs straddling my hips. Taking my cock in her delicate hands, she guided me as she lowered herself, taking me inch by inch, both of us moaning as she did. Once I was fully inside her, Kate leaned down, bringing her lips to mine, and for a moment, neither of us moved, relishing how amazing it felt to be one. When our lips parted, I placed my hand on her cheek, my eyes searching hers. "There's something I want to tell you," I whispered, running my thumb over her skin. "What is it?" she whispered back, turning her face to place a small kiss on my palm. I paused, taking in her beauty for what felt like the first time all over again. Her hair, her eyes, her full, pouty lips. She was everything. I never thought I would find someone who could handle Maddie and me as a package deal, and somehow I tricked the universe into giving Kate to me. I couldn't believe how lucky I was, and I couldn't keep my feelings to myself anymore. "I love you," I said, staring deeply into her eyes, "and I want to keep you forever." Her eyes widened for a moment, then glistened with unshed tears. She was silent for a few seconds more before letting out a soft chuckle. "I love you too," she replied, smiling and wiping the corner of her eye. "But forever is a long time, are you sure?" "Forever won't be nearly long enough." I pulled her in for another kiss, the energy between us suddenly electric. Our mouths moved quickly and urgently against each other as our bodies found a pleasurable rhythm. Kate rocked her hips over me, sending immediate waves of pleasure through my whole body. "Yes, that's it. Like that," I groaned, placing one hand on her ass to guide her movements and brought the other between her legs to rub her clit. Her moans grew louder as mine grew deeper and our breathing became ragged. As Kate came closer to orgasm, her eyes never left mine. God, I could have watched her all night like this, the pleasure on her face all my doing. Forever definitely wouldn't be nearly long enough.
Chapter 21. I never thought I'd be the type to want a big, fluffy white dress. First, there was the expense, and second, it was just so damn impractical. Third, it was uncomfortable and obnoxious, and something you only wore once. It seemed like a complete waste. Yet when the time came to plan our big day, a newfound part of me I'd never been acquainted with began voicing her opinions. I'd told Hunter this would be a low-key affair, a simple backyard barbecue for all I cared. But the further we got in the planning, the more specific my requests became. Suddenly, the backyard wasn't quite enough, yet a banquet hall was too sterile. A pantsuit was something you wore to a funeral, and a sundress was too casual. He'd been sweet and accommodating of my every whim, which was how we came to be sitting in the private back room of our favorite restaurant, me in a stunning white gown that cost as much as my first car. There was a small parquet floor for dancing, and about 50 of our closest friends and family gathered around us. And as for the white dress, you only live once, folks. In this moment, I felt like a princess, and not in a cheesy I've conformed kind of way, but in a bursting with happiness I've finally found my prince charming kind of way. I gazed across the room and saw Maddie digging through the gift bag I'd left for her, chatting happily with Hunter's parents and my mom. The day had been perfect. Our ceremony was short and sweet, and now soft jazz music floated through the air as waiters circled with glasses of bubbly champagne on little silver trays. I couldn't help the smile overtaking my lips. As Jesse and Rebecca rose to their feet and moved to the front of the room, I could already smell trouble. Jesse had that familiar grin I'd come to recognize meant mischief, and Rebecca swayed next to her, already pleasantly buzzed on champagne. Dread filled me. What were they going to say? This was supposed to be a family-friendly event. Jesse tapped a spoon against a glass, drawing everyone's attention. Hunter's gaze met mine, and he was smiling. God, this man. He looked so freaking happy, so full of life. His eyes were bright, his hair styled so neatly, and his black suit fit him perfectly. I didn't think I'd ever get used to how handsome he was.
If we could have your attention, please, Jesse said. We'd like to say a few words to the bride and groom.
The crowd quieted, and all eyes were on Jesse as she straightened her shoulders, thrusting her chin out.
First, we have to give huge props to Hunter.
She looked right at him as she spoke, and Rebecca grinned conspiratorially.
For taming our commitment-phobe friend. She was only looking for Mr. Tonight, and we're so happy that she found her Mr. Forever.
The collective awe from the crowd only marginally soothed my hot shame. There's nothing like your in-laws knowing you once enjoyed lots of no-strings sex.
Cheers to Kate and Hunter, Rebecca said, and applause broke out.
Hunter's hand found mine under the table, and he squeezed.
Any second thoughts?
Not a one, I said, meaning every word. I wouldn't let Jesse and Rebecca's toast embarrass me. I had been afraid of commitment, but Hunter had changed all that.
Love you, baby,
he murmured, leaning close. Love you more. Soon, appetizers were delivered to the tables, and my friends took their seats once again. Later, there would be dinner and dancing, and then a special night away at a hotel suite for Hunter and me while Maddie stayed over with her grandparents. And next month, we'd take our honeymoon, a 7-night trip to Scotland that I'd been dreaming about for months. But it wasn't the dress, or the party, or the honeymoon I was most excited about. It was a lifetime of being Hunter's wife and Maddie's mom that had my heart near bursting.
Daddy!
Maddie came bounding over to the table where Hunter and I sat huddled together.
Look at what I got!
She held up the loot from her gift bag.
It's a princess coloring book!
Hunter nodded, patting her shoulder.
Kate picked all that out for you.
Her bright gaze swung over to me.
Thanks, Kate!
You're very welcome. I wanted to make sure you have fun tonight, too. Hunter smiled, watching our interaction.
And later when you're tired, Grandma and Grandpa will take you home, okay?
I'm not tired, Maddie insisted. I want to dance.
Hunter and I chuckled as we watched her sashay around in her frilly party dress.
Kate?
Maddie asked, her expression suddenly turning serious.
Since you're married to my daddy now, does that mean you're my mommy?
My stomach twisted as I glanced at Hunter, hoping for some help, but he only grinned.
Well, I would love to be your mommy. I didn't grow you in my belly, but I love you very much, and I...
Okay, good, Maddie said quickly. So I can start calling you mommy now?
My throat tightened as tears gathered in my eyes.
Would you want to?
Yep,
Maddie cheered. I pulled her little body close, wrapping her in a hug, and could swear my heart swelled 3 sizes. I would love that. After that, she scampered away, leaving Hunter and me to stare at each other with unshed tears. He placed his hand on my cheek, watching me with so much emotion in his eyes. It had taken me a long time to learn what a 4-year-old already knew. A mom was someone who took you to the zoo and kissed your boo-boos and made you chocolate chip cookies. Someone who spent every day making sure you were happy and loved. Maddie was right. I was her mom now. I beamed at Hunter, unable to hide my smile.
That was incredible. He nodded. You were made for this role.
His warm gaze stayed glued to mine, seeming to calm me and communicate, "You've got this," all at once. I pressed a quick kiss to his lips.
Mr. Tonight, huh?
He asked, recalling Jesse's words. I rolled my eyes.
Obviously, that didn't work out. I'd say it worked out perfectly.
Against the backdrop of silverware clinking against glassware, I pressed my lips to Hunter's again. Epilogue.
A little to the left, I told Hunter, shifting my hips. Right there. That's perfect.
He adjusted himself and continued stroking my inner thigh. I just want you to be comfortable, baby.
Even after being married for almost a year, we were still as hot and heavy as ever. And it didn't hurt that I was 9 months pregnant and my hormones were giving me the libido of a teenage boy. The problem was, we couldn't always find a position that worked for my gigantic belly. And did I mention I was having twins? Hunter moved his hand lower and stroked exactly where I wanted him.
You're so wet, baby, he whispered as I let out a moan. He moved forward, ready to position his erection up against me, when I felt a sharp stab of pain in my abdomen. I gasped, clutching my stomach.
What is it?
He asked, concern lacing his voice.
Is it the babies?
The pain subsided, and I let out a sigh of relief.
It's fine. Just keep going, I told him. It had taken us 15 minutes to figure out the perfect position, and I'd be damned if I gave up on an orgasm now.
Hunter didn't seem convinced, so I placed a hand on his thick erection, moving my hand up and down. I shifted my hips forward, ready for him to enter me, when I was hit with another wave.
Shit,
I whispered. The wind knocked out of me from the pain.
I think we should go to the hospital, he said, jumping up and beginning to pull his clothes on.
I'm not due until next week, I protested, shaking my head. He placed his hand on my cheek, tucking my hair behind my ear.
Come on, I think we should get this checked out. I don't want you in pain.
No, I'm fine. I think it's a false alarm, I said, waving him away. I'm just going to rest for a little. Hunter was unconvinced. Ignoring me, he pulled my overnight bag out from the closet and picked up my clothes from the floor.
You need to put these on, he said, placing my feet through my panties and pulling them up for me.
Then he grabbed his cell. His parents had agreed to watch Maddie while we were at the hospital and were waiting on standby. Reluctantly, I pulled on the rest of my clothes before sitting on the bed while Hunter spoke to his mother. When he hung up, he grabbed the suitcase.
I'm going to load the car while they drive over, he said, leaning over to press a kiss to the top of my head.
Throughout the pregnancy, Hunter had been a bundle of nerves. Anytime I walked too fast or tripped on the sidewalk, which unfortunately I did a lot, he'd run over to me to make sure that the babies and I were okay. I would have thought he'd be the level-headed one, since he'd been through this before. I, on the other hand, had been surprisingly calm for the past 9 months, other than my raging hormones and intense cravings for chocolate and pickles. But suddenly, I wasn't so sure. I didn't feel ready to bring two lives into this world quite yet. Was it too late to back out of this whole thing? We'd found out I was pregnant a couple of months after the wedding. Shortly after, I legally adopted Maddie, and when we told her about her new brothers, we were worried she'd be upset. In typical Maddie fashion, she'd been mature about everything and couldn't wait to meet them. She'd already made a list of activities they could do together once the twins were old enough. And until then, she had a list of things she could do to help us. She reminded us that with two babies around, there wouldn't be as much time for the two of us to have adult snuggle time. So she'd watch her brothers so we could still do that. Hunter ran back up the stairs. Winded, he helped me stand up.
Let's get you in the car now so we can be ready.
He took a deep inhale.
They should be here any minute.
I bit my lip, not moving.
Kate,
he asked, finally pausing for a moment to give me a long look.
Is it the contractions? Does it hurt too much to walk?
I shook my head, not looking at him.
What is it?
He came to stand next to me and put an arm around me.
I watched a lot of reality TV.
I blurted, feeling tears well up.
What are you talking about?
He asked, confused.
You know how you're supposed to play Mozart while you're pregnant so your baby turns out smarter? Well, I didn't. I just watched a lot of reality TV and now the twins are going to be stupid and it's my fault.
I put my head in my hands while Hunter wrapped an arm around me.
I'm already a bad mom.
Okay, I knew I was probably being a little hysterical, but I couldn't stop myself. The reality that I was about to shape two lives was hitting me harder than it ever had before.
This was adulting at a whole new level. Was I really ready?
Hey, they won't be stupid, he said softly, rubbing my shoulder. They're going to be great, and you're going to be a great mom. You already are, baby. Look how you are with Maddie.
Unconvinced, I nodded. Another contraction hit, and I squeezed Hunter's hand until the pain passed.
Come on, we have to get going, he said, taking my hand and guiding me to the hall.
No, I'm not in labor, I said, shaking my head. I still have a week. Suddenly, I felt something between my legs. I looked up at Hunter. I think my water just broke, I said in disbelief.
He jumped into action, lifting me off my feet and whisking me down the stairs. His parents pulled up just as he was helping me into the car. They waved at us as we pulled away, Hunter's mom already crying with happiness. I was still in a state of shock as we drove to the hospital. Of course, I was prepared for this moment. We'd gone to all the classes, had read the books we were supposed to read. We'd bought two cribs and a double stroller, and we had a dresser full of tiny, freshly washed baby clothes. Hunter and I had practiced swaddling a fake baby about 1,000 times. But now that it was happening, I felt completely unprepared. We pulled up to the hospital in record time. Hunter wanted to run inside to get me a wheelchair, but I insisted on walking in.
Seriously, Kate? He asked as I waddled out of the car.
I can do it, I huffed, resting one hand on the car for a moment as a contraction shot through me. Holy hell.
Stay here, he told me. I'm serious. Don't move.
I didn't appreciate being scolded, but I decided to give in. After all, relationships were about letting yourself be supported by another person. It had been a long road, but I'd finally learned that lesson. Sometimes I needed to set my independence aside and let Hunter take the lead. Everything inside the hospital was such a whirlwind, it felt like only seconds later that I'd been put into a gown and was sitting in a hospital bed. The pain intensified quickly. I didn't consider myself a wimp, but this was seriously no joke. When the pain was almost unbearable, the nurse gave me a sympathetic grin. It's almost time to push, she said enthusiastically. Another wave of pain surged through me. What was she so happy about? I wanted to slap the bitch. Hunter offered me some ice chips to chew on, which he'd been instructed to do by the nurse. I waved him away. I changed my mind about this, I gasped, frantically looking at Hunter. He had a bewildered look on his face, still holding out the ice chips. This was unbearable. What the fuck had I gotten myself into?
It'll be okay, baby. You can do this, he said, gripping my hand firmly.
Why did you do this to me? I groaned. The doctor strode into the room, along with a couple of nurses who began prepping two bassinets. My nether regions felt like they were on fire. I looked at Hunter and tried to calm myself by staring into his warm, dark eyes. His expression was full of worry as I gripped his hand with every wave of pain. I tried to tell myself that this would all be a funny story once my lady parts stopped feeling like they were full of hot coals. A few moments later, my knees were drawn up and I was told to bear down, whatever the hell that meant.
You're doing great, Hunter said.
I let out several grunts in response. If I weren't the size of a whale, I would have jumped off the bed and run out of here.
Just keep looking at me, he told me.
Staring at Hunter was the only thing keeping me grounded, so I kept my eyes locked with his as I continued to push. After a few more pushes, just when I was about to give up and live as a pregnant woman for the rest of my life, one baby was delivered. Tiny cries filled the room, and I wanted to sob with relief. He's perfect, the nurse said excitedly after looking him over.
One down, one to go, the doctor said, grinning at Hunter.
Fuck. After another several pushes, the second baby moved into position and was finally free. Exhausted, I lay back until the nurses brought them over to me, one at a time. I took one look at them and burst into tears. They were so tiny and adorable. My heart was so full, it actually felt close to bursting. Hunter leaned over and ran a finger along their tiny cheeks.
They're ours, he whispered excitedly.
I tried to control my waterworks, but I couldn't. The babies were too perfect. I couldn't believe I'd ever questioned having a family. This was by far the greatest thing I'd ever experienced. I watched Hunter as he looked down at our babies and thought about how amazing it was going to be when Maddie met them. I'd had a lot of doubts along the way, about dating, marriage, and having a family, but this moment overshadowed every doubt I'd ever had. This was my family, my tribe, my ride or die, and it was absolutely perfect. Bonus epilogue. I think I love them the most when they're sleeping. I peered into the nursery where our six-month-old twins, Simon and Miles, were napping in their cribs. Is that bad? I asked Hunter, who stood by my side with his hand at my waist. Not at all. You've done amazing, baby. You deserve some rest, too. My lips curled up in a smile. I love it when you talk dirty to me, I whispered. Hunter's eyebrows shot up, and he let out a soft chuckle. I tugged his hand, drawing him past the nursery and into our bedroom. Telling a sleep-deprived new mother she can nap is practically foreplay. Smiling, he followed me to the bed, where I promptly collapsed into a comfortable heap, positioning my head on his bicep when he snuggled in beside me. Maddie was with my mom and Hunter's mom at a photo shoot for a popular boy band that was in town for a concert tonight. I'd pulled a few strings at work and gotten private passes for the event. Maddie had been thrilled. So far, Hunter and I had a chaotic morning filled with feedings and diaper changes, lullabies and explosive diarrhea. All in all, a typical Saturday. In my previous life, I'd be two mimosas deep right now and probably chatting with my besties. Instead, I was here, raising two tiny humans with the love of my life. Not a bad gig, though I was known to complain sometimes, mostly when I hadn't showered or slept in more than 2 days. Close your eyes and rest. If they wake up, I've got it under control. A lazy smile lingered at my lips as my eyes slipped closed. I enjoyed the feeling of lying next to Hunter, his firm body warming mine. Without his steady, loving encouragement and all his help, I wouldn't have made it this far. Motherhood was hard, yo. It was easily one of the most rewarding things I'd ever done, but it was also one of the most challenging, too. Thank God my sweet husband kept me grounded. Maddie had turned out to be an amazing big sister. We'd been prepared for the worst. She'd been an only child for 5 years, and we knew it would be normal to feel some jealousy toward the new babies. Yet Maddie had handled it all like a pro. All in all, life was pretty amazing. We'd named the babies after our favorite musicians from our now co-mingled vinyl collection, and I'd started working again part-time after 4 months at home with them. Through it all, Hunter continued to be the supportive, amazing man I first fell in love with. I was one lucky lady, and I knew it. With a sleepy, satisfied smile on my lips, I closed my eyes, letting the blissful feelings lull me into a restful sleep. This has been Mr. Tonight, written by Kendall Ryan, narrated by Sebastian York and Andy Arndt. Copyright 2018 by Kendall Ryan. Production copyright 2018 by Kendall Ryan. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Sebastian York and Andy Arndt are members of SAG-AFTRA.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.